In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, dear fellow redeemed by the blood of Christ. Have you ever been at a loss for words? Have you ever faced a situation where you just didn't know what to say? It can be kind of nerve-wracking. For a lot of times, it's with someone you care about, maybe even care deeply about, and they are facing a difficult situation, and you want to help them out, you want to give them good advice, you want to comfort them, but the situation is so difficult that you just don't know what to say. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever wondered, what do I say? For what do you say to someone who is struggling with all these events going on in our country right now? Who's struggling when they hear that a man walked into a FedEx facility in Indianapolis and shot a bunch of people? Who's struggling when they hear that a mom in California killed her 3 kids in cold blood? Who's struggling when they see the riots in Minneapolis and Chicago due to police shootings? What do you say? Do you immediately get into arguments about gun laws and gun rights? Do you immediately get into a debate about these shutdown orders and how foolish they were because they affected people's mental health? Do you join in with the rioting in order to try to get some police reform? Or do you join in with the chorus on the other side that says, well, if they weren't doing anything wrong, the police wouldn't have been there in the first place? What do you say to someone who's struggling with those issues? Or what do you say to someone who is struggling with issues closer to home, struggling with that trial that happened in Cass County where Kyler Yus murdered those 2 girls, struggling with health problems of a close friend or family member, struggling because they have to say goodbye to someone they love deeply as they're leaving this world? What do you say? Do you simply talk about the resiliency of human beings? Do you say there's nowhere to go but up? Do you speak in cliches like, you won't get more than you can bear, without any reason why or any true hope? What do you say? It's not always easy to find the right words to say as we're living in this sinful world. It's not always easy to give advice to someone who is struggling with a divisive issue in our country, to comfort someone who is really mourning, or to speak in a clear and concise way so that your words don't get misunderstood. It's not always easy. Instead, it's much easier to just yell loudly about your opinion, even if you have no facts backing it up. It's much easier to speak in cliches, which sound so good to the ear, but really mean nothing at all. It's much easier to just remain silent, because if you remain silent, then no one can get mad at you, right? After all, that's what a lot of people in this world around you do, and so it's very easy for us to do the same thing. But my dear Christian friends, you're different. You're different than so many people in this world around you. For you do have something to say. You have something beneficial to say. You have something that can comfort people, unite people, and give them peace. For you, you can actually say the same words that Jesus spoke to his disciples in our text. For you see, our text is actually the exact same text that we looked at last week of when Jesus appeared to these disciples on that first Easter evening as the disciples hid behind the locked doors. Last week, we looked at St. John's account of this story, which focused on the giving of the keys, the power to forgive and not forgive, and the whole story of how Thomas doubted for an entire week. But St. Luke focuses on something different in this story. He first focuses on the proof that Jesus really was alive, risen from the dead, proven by the fact that he had flesh and bones, proven by the fact that he ate that piece of fish and that piece of honeycomb? And then? Well, then St. Luke focuses on the message. The message that Jesus had to suffer and rise from the dead. The message that Jesus spoke to these disciples when they were absolutely struggling. Or did you catch what Jesus said to these disciples after he ate that piece of fish? He said, "These are my words that I spoken to you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." And he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He said to them, "This is what is written, and so it must be. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." Wouldn't you have wanted to be in that room with Jesus and the disciples? Wouldn't you have wanted to hear what Jesus was saying? Wouldn't you have wanted to see how he expounded on the Old Testament scriptures and showed you how everything from Abraham to Moses, from David to Daniel, to all those rites and ceremonies and festivals recorded in the book of Leviticus, wouldn't you have wanted to hear Jesus say how all these were about his suffering and death and resurrection and how forgiveness and repentance would be proclaimed in his name? Wouldn't you have wanted to be in that room? Think about how these words of Jesus must have calmed the disciples as they were afraid. Think about how these words of Jesus must have comforted them and given them peace. Think about how these words of Jesus must have proven to these disciples that he really was alive. And he's alive not to punish them as their sins deserve, but he's alive to forgive them. He's alive to destroy the devil. He's alive to conquer death forever. Can you imagine all of that happening? Can you imagine sitting at Jesus' feet? Can you imagine him expounding upon the scriptures and giving you such comfort and peace? Can you imagine all of that? Well, I think you can. Because you see, this is really what is happening right here, right now, or any time you gather at church. For you come here to church after being beaten up all week by this broken and lost and divisive sinful world. It doesn't matter who you are or what opinions you have on divisive topics like gun rights or police. You see someone shoot up a bunch of people in that FedEx facility in Indianapolis. Or you hear all the details of the Kyler Yush trial in Cass County, Missouri. Or you see all the violence that is happening on our nation's streets. And it pains you. It hurts you. It pulls at your heart. For death is unnatural, especially when, humanly speaking, death comes way sooner than it probably should. The same is true when you see one of your close friends or relatives struggling with their health, struggling with their finances, struggling with a variety of other issues. It pains you. It hurts you. You wonder how they or you are ever going to have the strength to endure. And so you come here week after week. You come here broken and beaten up by this sinful world. And as you heard last week, when you come here, Jesus himself is present. He really is present through the word and through the sacraments. And when you come here to this place to meet your resurrected Savior, what happens? Jesus opens up the scriptures for you just like he did with these disciples. He shows you how the Christ had to suffer and die and rise so that forgiveness and repentance can be preached to you. He speaks to you just like he spoke to those disciples, for remember, he's the one speaking, not me. This is his word. And when the resurrected Jesus speaks to you who have been beaten up by this broken and lost and sinful world, well, not only is peace in your heart, as you are assured your sins are forgiven and heaven is open for you, but on top of that, you are then given the confidence to do something else. you are given the confidence to speak that same powerful word of Jesus, that same message of Jesus' death and resurrection to others, so that they can have the same peace in your heart, in their hearts, just as you do. After all, that's what Jesus told his disciples. He said, "You're witnesses of these things." You see, the message that Jesus proclaimed on that first Easter evening, the message of the Scriptures, the message that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead so that forgiveness and repentance can be found in him, that message was not just for those disciples when they were struggling. It's for all people of all nations. And the disciples realized that, right? Read through the book of Acts. You see them going all throughout the known world at the time, preaching that message of repentance and forgiveness in Jesus. And you see the great things that God did through that proclamation. That's what the book of Acts is all about. And do you know what? Those same things will happen when we proclaim that same message today. God will be at work through it. And so when there's a pointless murder in our society, and it doesn't matter how many laws we enact, there are going to be murders because sin is still in this world. And so when there are those pointless murders and people are struggling with it, yes, you can have opinions on gun laws and rights and what to do with the police. There's a time and a place to have that discussion. But my dear Christian friends, you can speak so much more to people who are struggling with all those issues. You can point them to the death and resurrection of Jesus, to the forgiveness and repentance that is found in him, to the peace that he can give to people, peace that will last forever, whether you get all your ways on those divisive topics or not. And the same is true when someone is struggling with health or a variety of other issues. You can do so much more than just speak in empty, meaningless cliches. You can point to the death and resurrection of Jesus, to the forgiveness and repentance found in him alone, to the peace that he can give to them, peace that will last forever, no matter what they're struggling with. For you see, our goal when we open up our mouths as Christians is not just to win an argument. Our goal is not to convince everybody that my opinion on gun rights or my opinion on the police is the correct opinion and everybody else should have the same one. If everybody believed the same thing about what as I did I really accomplish anything? Instead, my goal, our goal as we open up our mouths as Christians is to point them where true hope, true peace can be found. And that is only in that central message of Scripture that the Christ had to suffer and die and rise, and forgiveness and repentance is found in him. That's what calmed these disciples' fears when they were struggling on that first Easter evening. That's what has calmed all of our fears as we live in this broken and lost world. And that's what will calm anybody else's fears as well. So you don't have to be at a loss for words. No matter how divisive the topic is or how much someone is struggling, you know what you can say. You can say that message of Scripture, that message that the Christ has died and risen, that message of forgiveness and life, that message that will bring peace to all. For when that message is proclaimed, yes, some people might get angry at you. But when that message is proclaimed, God will be at work in it, giving out peace where and when it pleases him, so that many others may have the same peace as you already do until we're taken to our eternal peace in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise as we open up our mouths to confess the one true Christian faith using the Nicene Creed.